Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hello, my fine friends, and hello from me. It's me, Ali Sloper, and I'm Richard Herring. This is Ali Sloper's show. So, look, some people on Rahalastapa won't know who you are. How could they not know who I am? I'm the 130-year-old ventriloquist dummy named your great-granddad, Richard. Of course you are. And what's going on today? Well, this is the first of the Acast Plus extras. The Acast what? Acast Plus? Acast Plus. Acast Plus extras, Richard. And it will be me interviewing you. The tables have turned. The tables have turned. The tables have turned, Richard. And you, Acast Plus Pluses, you can enjoy this in audio or video. It'll be on their video as well, Richard. Will it, so they can watch the amazing ventriloquism. Who's doing ventriloquism? I'm not. No, I don't. Well, I don't know. They can see in all your glory you talking and me talking. That's right. Look, what is good? Am I getting paid for this? You're not getting paid for this. You're doing this as a favour to me. That's ridiculous. I have nothing to do with Rahalastapa. Stop saying that, you throw there. That was good ventriloquism from you. Thank you. I do like this. Well, Acast Plus. Thank you very much for giving us a bit of money for the podcast. I hope you're enjoying your ad-free podcast. You get lots of little extras, and we want to make this worthwhile for you because it's a very nice commitment from you. It helps us to make more content. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and so we're giving you this exclusive podcast once a month. At the moment, it's going to be... We'll see how it goes. I dig your pardon. I'm cheeky knee, woohoo! I'm linking at it. They don't know who you are, most of them. Most of them know who I am, or maybe the people who've subscribed to this know. So what we're going to do, Ali, is you're going to ask me emergency questions from my various emergency questions books to begin with, and I'll answer them. That's very nice. You can answer them too if you want. Yes, I might have different answers to you. You never know. We'll do one of these a month. There might be some extra bonus stuff as well. Remember, you're getting the videos for the shows when we have them. We're going to be videoing the book clubs now as well, and you'll start getting the videos of the book clubs as well. There'll be other bonus stuff coming through. So, look, I mean, there's probably 150 of you at the moment. That's incredible, Richard. It's not that incredible. But it may build. It may build. Why are you putting your glasses on? I just thought I'd put my glasses on. I'd be reading the questions, Richard. I just thought I'd put my glasses on. They're a bit steamed up because I've just been in the bath. Let me see if I can wipe them on something. Oh, I'm just going to have a little rest, Richard. You're tired out already. Yeah, it's very hard doing this job. I'll put my glasses on just in case you need any help with the reading. That's very nice of you, Richard. Thank you very much. Well, I'm looking forward to doing the interview. I thought we and they should do an interview show, actually, by the way. Well, what, and I'm cheeky to the celebrities. Aren't you doing that anyway? I suppose it is a bit of a crossover. Look, there's some questions on the back and the side that never get asked. So I can explain where some of these questions came from. I've got answers to most of them because most of them are things that have happened to me and I've just... Shall I do the interviewing? Yes, sorry, darling. Don't call me darling, lovely. My name's Ali Sloth, not Ali Darling. Richard, have you ever stamped on a mouse? Stamped on a mouse? Oh, have I ever stamped on a mouse? No, I haven't. The reason I asked that question, though... I asked the question... just let me answer. The reason I put that question in the book, is because when I was a kid, I remember I was about 8 years old in Cheddar and I was with friends with some slightly naughty kids and we were playing around somewhere like a sewage works or something like that. And I was a good kid and I wouldn't be doing, and I was a chicken of a kid and I wouldn't do anything that I thought might get me into trouble. But they actually went down into this sort of cellar thing that it was an open, I guess it was where water went at some point. It's like an open sort of tank, but made of stone. And I stood above and wouldn't come down with them. And there was a terrified little mouse. Oh, my goodness, just standing on the floor where they were. And one of the other kids, I can't remember. I'd name and shame him if I could. He's probably gone on to be a serial killer for this kind of treatment. He just, this little terrified tiny mouse just was shaking. Thought it could get away if it just stayed still, and he just stamped on it and obliterated it and then looked up at me smiling and laughing, and it stuck with me, that story. That's quite a grim place to start, isn't it? I didn't promise it would all be laughs, Ali. I'm answering your questions. That's the thing with emergency questions. You ask the questions, you have to cope with the answers. Sometimes they're not funny and sometimes they're very sad, and that's a sad story. So I didn't have anything to do with the stamping on the mouse. I would have saved him if I could have. I mean, he'd be dead now, but anyway, it was in, like, 1977 or something like that. It's hardly the point, is it, Richard? No. Oh, Richard, hello. Yes, I have another question for you. Do you want to read it off the... Yeah, don't you read it. I'm doing the questions. You read it off the book, then. Stop looking at the questions. All right, I'll stop looking. You look away so I can... Well, it might be tricky. Just look away from the book. Okay, look away. Do you remember the Rubik's Snake? And what... Tell me the memories of it. I vaguely remember the Rubik's Snake. My memories of it are that it wasn't as good as a Rubik's Cube. It was like the Rubik's Cube I couldn't do, but I had one, and then I had Rubik's Hexagon. Remember those? I don't remember the Richard. I was in a box through the 1970s and 80s and didn't come out very much. So, no, I don't remember them personally. I don't know what you're talking about. You asked the question. I know, I'm just reading what's on the book. So I had a Rubik's Cube, couldn't do it. Got a Rubik's Hexagon for some reason, even though I couldn't do the Rubik's Cube. And then the Rubik's Snake came out. I'm not sure I got one of those, but I certainly played with them and I didn't understand what the hell I was meant to do with them. And unsurprisingly, they have not reached the accolades and the heights of the Rubik's Cube. You don't really get Rubik's Snakes anymore, do you? No, stop putting your glasses on, knowing that to ask a question. Okay, go and ask another. Who was your favourite then? The Blazing Squad. Mine was Platinum. Yours was Platinum, was it? Yes, I love Platinum. Platinum, my favourite members of Blazing Squad. I love Blazing Squad, all of their hits. We are the Blazing Squad, and we like to sing in a squad. That's not really a rhyme, is it? Well, that's not my fault. I'm just singing Blazing Squad songs to you. The Blazing Squad, they've never been in a quad because we're down in the streets. We didn't go to a posh university. We'd like to stand on the corner singing. Who's your favourite member? I like Platinum as well. You just sing Platinum because I said Platinum. Okay, I think I like... Well, let's go through them. There was Brian Baloney. Was there? Can you say his name? Brian Baloney? Easily. Brian Baloney. Not bad. Patrick Mazarinka, yeah. There was Zeus was one of them, was a bit spelt, it was spelled Z-O-O-Z-E. Yes, Zeus was definitely one of them. There was Specs. He was the one with three ad Specs. Sometimes they call him the prof, yeah. I don't like him. He was, he didn't really fit in with the other guys. There was Splodjo. Yes, Rodjo, Shrindrazen, Scotty was a good one. There was so many of them, I can't name them all. I think my favourite, probably of all, was Christ, Jesus Christ. The Blazing Squad. I don't think he was the original Jesus Christ, but he was in the Blazing Squad. You're doing very well with these questions, Richard. I mean, they've not. I think I have asked that one actually recently, but yeah, these have never been asked. Most of these on the outside of the book. Richard, can I ask you another question? Yes, please do. Read it from there. Okay, don't you look. I'm looking away. Okay, Richard, did you ever consider a career in dentistry? Did I ever consider a career in dentistry? It says, do not ask this to a dentist, that would be rude. That's a good question. You can use these questions yourself at home, of course. If you want to buy this, the book we're using is the original Emergency Questions Orange book, which I think still available from gofasterstripe.com if you want. But you will work through all the questions in the coming months, and you're welcome to use them at your will. Did I ever consider a career in dentistry? I didn't. I've got friends whose dads were dentists. I think I'm right in saying it's the career with the highest suicide rate of any profession in the United Kingdom. Well, I'm not surprised because, dentists are always looking down in the mouth. I don't think it's appropriate to do a pun like that. I'm giving you, again, not all of this is for comedy, and I'm giving you quite a stark statistic that I don't think it's appropriate for you to do a stupid pun when... I'm giving you quite a sad piece of information. I'm very sorry, Richard. I would like to have... I think this question comes up. I'd like to have a personal hygienist who just did my teeth every morning in one of those chairs. I don't think I would like to be a hygienist. I mean, people have got stinky breath, haven't they? You're telling me, Nate, what do you think I'm sitting down here for? I don't know. Can you smell? Yes, I can. Have you got a nose? Yes, I have. Well, that explains it. Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of smells, abscesses and things. It's not very pleasant. I think the problem is no one really looking forward to seeing you when you're a dentist, are they? No one's going, great, I'm going to the dentist. Maybe a little kid with brilliant teeth might go in, great, I'm going to get a sticker. But apart from that, most people are kind of annoyed to see you. You give them bad news, you hurt them, and people leave resenting you. So it's sort of not exactly the opposite of being a comedian, because comedians can have that effect sometimes as well, but mostly people come and see you, have a nice time, thank you for doing the job, and then mind you, a lot of comedians are depressive as well, and there's in a few of them who top themselves. All right, it's not appropriate in this day and age to talk like that. Let's move on. Can you open I'll open the book for you, but you obviously have to read the questions. We'll go to the inside cover. Richard, yeah, have you ever mocked a dog? Is that what it says? That's what I'm reading there. Have you ever mocked a dog? Have I ever mocked a dog? I don't know where that question came from. I don't think I have ever mocked a dog. I've laughed at dogs that have been silly. There's two questions about animal cruelty already. Yes, it's not me. I didn't write the questions, Richard. I'm just reading them. So, don't blame me for what's going on here. I won't blame you. I wouldn't mock a dog because, why would you do that? A dog can't understand. If you want to mock somebody, they need to understand they're being mocked, really, or it's not that much. It's a little bit of fun, I suppose. Someone's so stupid they can't even understand they're being mocked. But to mock a dog, what kind of low life would you have? You'd have the kind of guy who stamped on a mouse. So I think you would have to be that kind of person. So I've never mocked a dog. What's the next one? Look away, Richard. I'm looking away. Okay. It's going to be difficult if we do this every time. Look away so I can read the question. Are you looking? No, I'm not looking. Well, stop looking because I'm reading the question. All right. What's the worst supermarket offer that you've ever encountered, Richard? What's the worst super? I mean, there are those things where you kind of think, oh, it's £2 for £5. And then you look at it and it was like £2.51 each. So you're saving 2p, that kind of thing. You mean, yes, I can't think of anything offhand. It's not a great question. I'm just reading this here. Don't blame me for the questions. You have to blame yourself for the questions. This might come up later, but the thing that springs to mind immediately about supermarkets, which isn't about an offer, is I was once standing in a supermarket. This was back in the 90s, and I was just standing up looking at something, and this old man started moving towards me, and it was before I'd been on the radio, but I was by no means the celebrity that I am now. What would you say this kind of celebrity you are now? Can you go down the street without being tested, Richard? Could you have to get a nod when you go down the street? I can go down the street, but I think it's because people are pretty cool around where I live, and they like to treat me like a regular guy. And also everywhere else I go, they see me, they think, "Fuck, it's Richard Herring." Don't bother him. Let him go about his life. He's just a guy like us, even though to us he's a god. So I don't get bothered very much. But anyway, this guy came towards me and he was holding out his hand and going, "Herring, Herring, Herring." And I was a little bit scared. I thought I was about to be killed by this guy. And then he reached up right past my ear and picked a jar of herrings off the shelf. And I happened to be standing right in front of the herring jar section. And it was just a bizarre coincidence. It doesn't really answer my question, does it? No, it doesn't, but I think the skill with answering an emergency question is when you don't have an answer is to go off at a tangent and answer something else. So that would be, if you're a future guest watching this who's for some reason subscribed to this service, I would say, do that. Do what I just did. If you can't answer a question, that's the best way. It was a good answer, Richard, to a different question. Well, it might come up. I've used pretty much everything in these questions. What's the next one? Don't looking at my questions. I don't want to look at the questions ahead of time. You're looking at the questions. I'm not looking. I'm looking away. You just looked at it so that you... I'm looking away. Richard, have you ever been in a dawn? Have I ever what? Have you ever been in a dawn? Have I ever been in a dawn? Have you ever been... Dean? Dean? Have you ever been... Oh, been? Have I ever been in a dawn? Have I ever been in a dawn? Had you ever been in a dawn? Have I ever been in a dawn? It's not what I'm asking. Should I read off the... Oh, have I ever been in a barn? Stop reading my questions, Richard. It gives you a chance to come up with an answer. I mean, of course I've been in a barn. I mean, I went to a wedding and it was in a barn just recently. I mean, what kind of question is that? I didn't write the questions, Richard. I'm just reading the questions. Don't start criticising. Go and criticise yourself about the questions. Anything sexy happened to you in the dawn? Well, someone got married. That's quite sexy. Was it to you? No. We had the dance and stuff. I expect some people kissed and stuff in there. It was like a converted barn. I don't think I ever... I like the idea of, finding a... When I was younger, finding a young woman who was attracted to me and maybe working on a farm and wearing a sort of wench's costume, sucking on a piece of straw and her, gesturing to me to come into the barn, and then we go up in the hayloft and we all canoodle and throw hay in the air. I like that idea, yes. It never happened to me, unfortunately. If there are any women, sort of medieval women, working in fields at the moment, do give me a call. I'll check it with my wife and see if she's okay for me to do it. And it would only be like canoodling, and really it's not even having sex, it's just hay guts in the air, and then someone discovers you, and maybe the lady's... Just her corset is slightly undone, so you can see like a bit more of her boobs than you usually would. But no nipples. It always gets to the point where you're discovered before anything serious can happen. It does usually. Yes, that is true. But barn wise, I grew up in the countryside, so there were barn dances, and there were barns that were used as outward property. I now live in the countryside. I don't have a barn of my own. I would like a barn. But this property does not have a barn. No. It's a good question, though, Ali. Thanks for asking it. Yeah, let me look at the next question. Let me look at it. No, let me look at it. Why have they got so many D's in this question? So many B's. Why are there so many D's? So many B's in the question. All right, okay. Richard, what is the most lasciness act you have ever committed? Well, I don't know if I can talk about that on a podcast. Because, they might upset... people. I mean, I've done a lot of blasphemous things, I suppose, in that I've written comedy about Jesus that some people have found unpleasant. You wouldn't do jokes about old Allah from Islam, would you? Well, I don't know enough about it, Ali. You wouldn't do it because you're scared. No, I was brought up a Christian and I feel like I know enough about Christianity. But also, it's a different thing. If you start attacking or mocking or even just questioning religion of a minority group in the country, I think that's a different thing than doing the majority religion. It's punching up, punching down sort of thing, isn't it? But I feel all religions are equally as ridiculously as each other. So it's not. And obviously, Jesus is actually a prophet in Islam. So I have, you know, your what you're saying doesn't hold up. Not that I want to offend people. I'd like to question things. I think if you're religious, you should question things yourself as well. And if you come out answering, if you come out with an answer you're happy with, then fine. But it all seems a bit daffy to me, is all I can say. But, you know, I remember being quite scared. I was brought up a Christian. I remember even when I was did these mild, I remember going up in the pulpit and doing maybe a Rowan Atkinson sketch or something like that, or maybe just being slightly disrespectful from the pulpit. And I remember thinking I'd get into trouble for that. So when I was worried about blasphemy, it was when I was sort of on the cusp before, between caring about this stuff and believing it and not believing it. It all seemed, yeah, I was about 8 really when I sort of thought none of this really makes any kind of sense. But when you've been brought up in something, and I was always quite superstitious and I kind of liked the occult and stuff like that. So I think even when I did Christ on a Bike, there was a little bit of me that was worried about the residual feelings of religion within me. But again, if you go and watch that show, which I advise you to do, you can download it at gofasterstripe.com. Stop turning this thing into an advert, Richard, isn't it? To the extra 30th. You've promised no adverts in these things. And well, it's not really an advert, I'm just, people might be interested. Yeah, you know, go and watch it. But it's, you know, have I done anything blasphemous? I mean, yeah. I mean, probably my routine about having sex with the stigmata wounds of Jesus is probably, which is on a different show than Christ on a Bike. You're going to have to download them all to find, I think it might be Menage a Un, maybe. Makes sense if it was, but I'm not, you know, just download. I think if you're a badger, you get all the, you can still become a badger as well, even if you're a plus, but you know, I don't want to take the piss. So thank you for doing anything. Next question, please. Richard, would you like a tea or a coffee? I've got a licorice and peppermint tea. Tried to drink it noisily there. I've been trying to drink it noiselessly before and failed. So right at the moment, I will stick with my licorice and peppermint tea. It's rather fruity, isn't it? Are you going on licorice and peppermint tea? Just feel a buzz in my pocket, was that? No, that's okay. I prefer coffee, I think, overall. Do you? Yeah, I've given up nearly everything I like in life. I've given up booze, I've given up chocolate. Though occasionally I slip up with that one. I'm trying to give up as much sugar and cakes and biscuits. I feel like I've given up some. I'm trying to give up milk. I'm trying to give up bread as much as possible. All the things I really like, I've stopped doing. Coffee's the one thing I really love that I hope I don't have to stop doing, but it's one of those things that people have to stop doing, isn't it? I've got a nice coffee machine. Yes, it saved me a lot of money over the time. I've had thousands and thousands of coffees from it. It was quite expensive. So right now, tea. But like, I sometimes drink, you know, tea, but I usually drink these herbal teas now. It was an interesting question, wasn't it? Right, you look at that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Right. Richard, who is the most famous person who has touched your nipple? My what? Your nipple? My niddle? Come on, it's obvious what I'm saying. Stop being a dick. Who is the most important and most famous person who has ever touched your nipple? Oh, my nipple. You said it quite clearly. Well, you know, I've had some partners who are well-known, yes, and I'm just trying to think if anyone... I don't really hang around with famous people very much. I don't go to parties, and I don't go to the kind of sex parties where, you know, George Clooney's licking a nipple. You know, I'm sure Stuart Lee's touched my nipple, for example. He's pretty famous. Is that the best you can do? You know, like Sally Phillips has touched my nipple. Julius Wilde has touched my nipple. Any of my girlfriends who have gone on to be or worse, super successful, famous people have probably touched it. Yeah. What else have they touched? Well, they've touched everything. My penis. Yeah, that's what I was enjoying. Those two touched my penis as well. This is the kind of thing you don't get on the regular podcast, isn't it, Leighton? What extra content are we getting here? It's pretty good extra content. You know, when you go out with someone for 2 years and you're an adult, they usually do touch your genitals at some point. Well, I'll look forward to that happening to me. Is there anything that's still going to come and touch my nipple? I'll do it. You are probably the most famous person who's touched my nipple, Richard. Can't think of anyone else that's got in there. Luckily, I've never... When I was younger, I never met any of the bad ones that I remember. And, you know, I don't think they would have. Again, they'd have been straight in for the... You know, why mess around with the nipples when you can get straight into the big guy downstairs, yeah? Of course, you used to have two balls, didn't you, Richard? I used to have two balls, and, you know, all those people have... Probably touched my balls as well. I don't remember. Okay, next question. We haven't even got into the trotter look yet. We're still just doing the cover, aren't we? Yeah, they're still doing the cover. So this is auguring well for this being a long-running additional podcast, Richard, isn't it? Well, we'll see. Maybe the host could change. Well, I don't know. I think people are enjoying it. And, you know, we've got some good dadinage going on. We've got some good dadinage. Is that like badinage from a dad? That's very funny, Richard. You should do some dad jokes. What's next? I'll hand it to you. See, yeah, stop looking at it. Don't look. I'm not looking at it. I've got to look at it a little bit. Stop looking at it. How much would you pay, Richard, to have headlights installed on your forehead? They would be called headlights, like two words, head hyphen lights, because they're the lights on your head. I don't think I would pay much for that. What, they permanently installed? Yeah, permanently installed, Richard, headlights. They're like, are they headlight size? I don't think they'd be like the size of the car headlight. That would be too thick, wouldn't it? That they would be in torsion in your forehead, probably one on each side. You could probably do loading, digging. You could thrash the target unless they were annoying you coming up the road. And most importantly, I suppose you'd be able to see things that are coming in the dark towards you. I suppose that's what they'd be useful. Well, I mean, I do have like a light that you can wear on your head. I used it for stone clearing for a little while, and then I just didn't find it that good because I found it hard to direct it. I suppose if the lights were actually in your head, like you thought they're installed in your skull, Richard, yeah, does that create some problems with your brain? No, they do it so it didn't. You come up with a name and everything, headlights, yeah, it's a good name. I'm not sure I'd want to become sort of a part cyborg, to be honest. I think I would just use a torch. And not have these things, because they clink when they, and I think it might, they might, germs might get in. If you could take them on and off, but that's just a head torch. Wouldn't you like to go out in the fields and see what's going on? Not really, no. You could just put your headlights on full beam, see what everyone is up to. Well, you know, I don't think they're up too much, are they? It's nighttime. It's a silly question. Yeah, fair enough. I wouldn't pay for them. If someone wants to make those and give me some for free, I'll try them out for, you know, in fact, not for free, you'll have to pay me. Richard, what's the worst thing you've ever got stuck in? The worst thing I've ever got stuck in? What's the worst thing you've ever got stuck in? I'm trying to think of when I've been stuck. I got stuck in a toilet once when I was on a very early holiday with my wife, and we were in Italy. I think we were on the island of... Sicily, probably, I think we were at. Where does, what's his face from the Eureka guy come from? Archimedes, yeah, where does he come from? I think he comes from Sicily, Richard. Okay, well, that would be it. We were in his, is that his name, Archimedes? I don't know, I think so. Okay, you know more than I do. Eureka, that guy, shout out Eureka, was he Archimedes? I believe so, I don't know. I don't know if you're right about that. Okay, well, that's what I think. Anyway, we were in a restaurant, a cafe, having a coffee, and then I went to the loo, and then I realised I was trapped in the loo, and I couldn't get out. And I was sort of thinking my new girlfriend, who'd only been together for a couple of months at that point, I think I'd done a run, and I had to wait to see if she would come and try and rescue me, but she was coming for ages. I can't. There's probably a blog about it somewhere if someone wants is really bothered about. Check it. What, do you want me to check it? Check it. You're doing the new catchphrase from the audience. I think it'll be hard to check it, Ali. It's interesting. You know things that I don't know. I haven't got my computer up here, so it's going to be a little bit. Check it. We've got time. We do have time. That much is true. RichardHerring.com. I don't know if I can do searches on the phone. If I can't do the searches on the phone, no, I can't search, so it's going to be take too long. All right, we'll check it for next week's show. We're not doing what we want in the month, we're doing. And when I'll forget to check it. Okay. Anyway, I was stuck in that. I used to hide in a Zed bed in my... What's a Zed bed, Richard? It's like a bed. It's a collapsible bed that would go up into... I don't know why it's called a Zed bed, really. I suppose it was slightly like a letter Z, but you would go up and you could... It would just go up into like a cupboard sort of thing, and you could crawl into the mattress in the middle. But I never really got stuck in there. So, you know. Sorry, I can't come up with a better answer off the top of my head. You should have thought about these things, Richard. Well, no, it's the beauty of emergency questions is they surprise you, even me. Richard, can I ask you another question? Yeah. What's the worst thing that's ever got stuck in you? That is a good question, Ali. You surprised me with that one. I didn't see that one coming at all. What's the word? I mean, a cancerous testicle? Does that count? No, don't stop being around your fucking testicle. We can hear enough about that in the coming months. So you don't want any more of that stuff, please. All right, it's getting boring. Look, it's not. It's important that people check themselves. Oh, shut up! It's important that you had money for your bank balance. And that's not why I've had testicular cancer, to try and make money. You haven't made money. I made money because that's what you do as a comedian. You spot your where you want to do stuff, and you spot your moment. And sure, yeah, you know, I've written a book and I've been paid for the book. But if that counts as being paid for losing a testicle. And you did the puppet, and you did the puppet, and you're doing a sitcom, and I did the sitcom, and you're doing a podcast. I'm doing a podcast. That's it. That's all I'm doing. Stand up show, maybe some stand up about it. But that's all I'm going to do. So, you know, just leave me alone. I don't, you know, you're implying I've stuck something in my anus, haven't you? Not been able to get out. I'm implying that. I don't think I was never very interested in anal play. I don't mind a little tongue going up there. Oh, too much intonation. But, you know, I don't want to. The idea of ramming something up there too far, that, you know, a finger's okay. All right, too much intonation. You ask the question because that can come out, can't it? The finger has the hand on the end unless you know, it's not attached to what I think. So I don't think I've ever tried to put... I mean, someone tried to put a champagne bottle up my anus, if you read my book, How Not to Grow Up. No, it's not just they can read the story. I don't want to go over it again, but it didn't get stuck. Someone tried to put something in there, and I went, I'm not interested in that, thank you. That's a bit weird for me. I don't. What if it gets stuck? So, you know, I'm already conscious of that. Well, that's all very interesting. But, you know, I've got things stuck in my throat, I suppose. I can't think of my wife had a carrot stuck in her throat. I saved her life. I think she was just overreacting a bit, but, you know, like I could play the hero, so it was all right. Can't really remember choking or anything particularly. Have I ever been speared by anything? I don't think so. I don't think, you know, I've lived a fairly pain-free, accident-free, getting things stuck in me free life. So, you know, I have been pretty lucky in this regard. How long have we done? I was just looking to see how long we'd done. We're going right. We've done half an hour or so. That's not that, is it? And we could stop it, couldn't we? But you know, I think we should. I think these should be like 45 minutes long, just to give the people. It's a long time to you just talking to yourself. I'm not talking to myself. I'm talking to you. Well, it seems a long time to be doing this. I disagree. Why am I reading the book? It's for you, Richard. Do you enjoy macrame? Do I enjoy macrame? Macrame. Do you know what macrame is? I don't really know what macrame is, Richard. What macrame is? I don't know either. It's weird. Sometimes one of us knows, don't they? And then sometimes neither of us know. Why would I write a question about something? Is it like a little... Is macrame like stitching stuff together? Like, is it like making a little scene out of cotton and stuff? Is that what it is? Or wool? I'm going to look it up. I should have put it just like on the page. I should have said... Macrame kit, macrame plant hanger. Macrame. Ah, macrame is a form of textile produced using knotting techniques. I was close. The primary knots of macrame, of course, are the square and forms of hitching, various combinations of half hitches. It was long crafted by sailors
especially in elaborate or ornamental knotting forms to cover anything from knife handles to bottles to parts of ships. Canvadoli macrame is one variety that's used to form geometric and freeform patterns like weaving. The Canvadoli style is done mainly in a single knot, the double half-hitch knot. Reverse half-hitches are sometimes used to maintain balance when working left and right halves of a balanced piece, and so on. I do not enjoy macrame. I can see from just reading that it's about knots, right? I think that was the gist of it. I think the gist is there's a lot of knots in there. Sorry, there you go. Start setting up. I had a lot on the chair, Richard. I know, I thought I picked you up. I'll always pick you up. I love you, Alex. I know that you too, Richard. No, we mustn't ever tell people about our love when we're doing the puppet show. No, of course not. What puppet show? I'm not good at knots. I think, you know, I don't want to go on about my aphantasia. You could never even fucking say it, let alone go on with that. I could never really visualize anything in three dimensions. I was always bad at knots. I was bad at doing any of those IQ tests where you had to fold things over. I could never do them. And I couldn't do knots. And I was thinking about this the other day, even at Cubs, right? When I was at Cubs, you had to do knots at Cubs. I was a gold arrow at Cubs. You had to do knots, Richard, if you're a gold arrow. Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you? But when it came to the day that I was tested on knots to get my gold arrow, I think a scout or an older boy was in there taking the test to see if I was any good. Okay. And we went into a little office. You went into an office at the scout hut. I did. You know, I didn't know what I know now, how dangerous that could be. And I tried to do the knots and I couldn't do them. I got these little pudgy fingers. It was just, I can't imagine things in 3D. I was going all over the place. It was terrible. And eventually the guy said, look, I'm going to tell them you did it. If they check and ask you, just say you've forgotten how to do it. So I would like to go on record now to the 150 people watching this. Hopefully one of them isn't my Arcala. That I cheated my way to my gold arrow in Cubs. And in a way, everything, all those badges I had, meaningless as a result. So I don't like macrame. Maybe you should learn the macrame, Richard. Maybe you should learn to do knots. I can't do them. I'm terrible. I can knot my shoes and just about do a tie. Took me a long time. Let's do the last question on the inside cover. We haven't even got into the book yet. There's 500 questions in here on top of these. And these were bonus questions. I only thought to ask them recently. All right, Richard, don't look at the thing. I'm not looking at the thing. Would you rather have the drain that could connect to Wi-Fi? A drain that could connect to Wi-Fi. Not a drain, Richard. Why do you keep doing this? A brain. Oh, very good. A brain. That could connect to Wi-Fi. Or an immunity to arthritis. So you're saying my brain could just... Anywhere I went, a Wi-Fi signal, bang, I could be in, and then inside my head I can access the internet. Yes, I guess that's what I'm saying. What, like, just in my head, because I can't... Would I be able to visualise it, even though I can't visualise things? Yes, I know. God, just to shut you up. Yes, let's say yes. So I'd have... What you're saying, would I like to have internet in my brain? Or do I have to then connect my brain to a computer screen? Let's say it's internet in your brain. Well, yeah, I'd like to have that. What are the arthritis? Well, you know, I think... Yeah, I might get arthritis, I might not. You can cope with it, the things you can do. It's not very nice. But I think, like, hopefully that's 10 or 15 years away. And the 10 or 15 years I have of surfing the web in my brain and being able to see things, and you're just thinking of the dirty stuff, aren't you? I was just thinking of the dirty stuff. I don't know how you knew that, because I was just thinking of the dirty stuff too. I mean, just have access to that in your head. So, like, you could be, you know, your wife's talking about something you're not interested in. Just, you wouldn't have the dialogue tone. No, I wouldn't need that, because it would be just straight away. Now I'm not living in 1995. And then I'm watching now, just close my eyes and bang, bang, people putting champagne bottles up people's asses all over the place. Yeah, it would be good, Richard. So definitely I would take the Wi-Fi, for sure. Richard, I'd like to ask you some of the more common questions, the old classics now. Okay, well, that's lucky, because they're right at the front page of this book. There's an introduction. There's a picture of a penis and some testicles there for people who are watching the video. You know, how I wish that's how mine look now, but, you know, that's how it goes. Richard Herring, my next question to you. Yeah, you don't even have to look at the book. I don't want to, because you're answering. I don't need to look at the book either. It's question number one. It's the question everyone gets asked. Everyone knows the cock, at least. Richard, yeah, I mean, I've answered this question. Have you ever tried to suck your own cock? Yeah, I have tried. I tried as a probably 13 or 14 year old. I was a little bit more limber back then. I mean, I'm quite short. And I have a reasonable-sized penis. Oh, yes, that's not what I heard. You've seen my penis. Yes, I tried to wank you off, Richard, didn't I? Yeah, well, you know, we don't really address this very much. I tried to wank you off, Richard. It wasn't very big when I tried to wank you off because I wasn't turned on by you trying to wank me off. I found that off-putting, and so I did not have... And that was just my flaccid penis. It wasn't very big, you know, but when it's erect, it's a grower, not a shower. When it's, you know, it's big, so I could, you know, do you want to show us if you can? I don't think I could suck my own cock now, but when I was 13 or 14, I could just about, with the legs over the head measure, just about get the tip into my mouth. But I found, to be honest, I didn't find it that pleasurable, and I found it slightly weird, and I had a cock in my mouth, not quite, this is the end, I had a cock near my mouth, and it was quite painful, and, you know, it wasn't that good. You know, I'd have thought it'd be better with me licking it myself, but I guess just the action of doing it all was too much. So I, you know, I've tried, I've had partial success, but I'm going to retire from the sport, happy with what I've achieved. I don't. I'm not going to do. That's not going to for £5. I'm going to go on OnlyFans. If people want to see that, they can come on OnlyFans and pay like £500, and I'll give it a crack on there. That sounds like a good idea. We tried to Sally your wife up to OnlyFans, didn't you? Yes. But it was rejected. OnlyFans found it too distasteful to have a ventriloquist dummy on there, so we didn't do it. What's the next question? Richard, here's a very good question. These questions are so good, Richard. You should do these every week. Oh, well, I got bored of them. Would you prefer a handmade out of ham or an aunt at the distance sun cream? What a brilliant question. Could you tell me the rules of it? Yes, Richard, the hand would grow back each time you ate it and would function perfectly as a hand, though it would leave the greasy residue on everything it touched. The sun cream would be the factory of your choosing, but the not the your own personal use. You would not be able to make enough to bottle and sell. Great question. Now, I know not many, but a lot of people choose the armpit, sun cream armpit. They think they'd like sun cream. I'm not that bothered about sun cream. I often don't put it on. That's why I'm a bit red at the moment if you're watching the video version of it. I've had cancer and I should be like a little bit more cautious about that maybe. But I like ham. And if I'm allowed to choose that, if it's like parma ham, it could be Richard. If it's parma ham, then I'm going for the ham. Or just to have like a little bit of parma ham on call all the time. And it grows back, doesn't it? It grows back, Richard, gradually, not straight away. That takes a little bit of time. Then, I'm going for the ham made out of ham. I'm a ham hander all the way, my fine friend. Fair enough. Richard, we're going to wrap that soon. I think we've done about 14 minutes now. We'll ask you a couple more questions. That's getting some good answers from you here. Richard, you're doing better than I thought you would. Well, thank you for that, Ali. Do you want to read this one? Richard, if you had to have sex with an animal, if you had to, why would I have to? Because... someone's saying, if you don't have sex with this animal, I'm going to kill your family. Okay, well, I'd probably have sex with an animal in that case, you're right. What animal would you have sex with and why? Well, people know the answer to this one. I'm a big fan, if they've been, you know, as big a fan of the podcast as presuming they are, if they've signed up for this service. I'm a big fan of the okapi. It's a beautiful, like, zebra-like creature. But with a face more like a llama. A face very like my own wife's face, actually. And now I look back at it and I wonder if that's what attracted me to her in the first place. But from behind, they look very much like a lady wearing nice sort of leopard print trousers. So, you know, if I had to, I don't want to, but if I had to, or if no one was around and I thought I could get away with it, I would like to just give that a go and see if it's as good as that. You know, just like a classy lady. Who'd wear zebra print, and it's got a nice bum. It's sexy. Okay. Also, when it turns around, it's got this really long tongue that, you know, again, didn't like my own tongue on there, but that tongue just tickling my ball as I'm doing it, that could be fun. So it would be an okapi, but only if I had to. It sounds like you'd like to do it regardless of if you had to. Well, you said my family are in danger, so I would do it. Do they have to watch? They're all watching. They all have to watch you do it, Richard. I mean, it seems like a cruel thing to do. I don't know what kind of person would make me do that. But if I had to have sex in front of, within a carpi in front of my family to save their lives, I'd be going, I'm doing this for you. I know I'm fairly aroused, but I'm doing it for you. I'm aroused by danger, that's what I would say. Right. What would it take for you to delete the actor Keith Allen, Richard? A good question, Ali. Question 4 of 500. We're up to question four and 40 minutes in. So this is going to be a long running. We've got about four or five of these books to get through. So good luck. Buckle down, buckle in. It would take a lot. This question, as you'll probably know as a fan of the podcast, came from an Edinburgh Fringe podcast. Maybe one of the... We started in 2011 doing the Ref for Hefs. I think this was one of the first series, but maybe the second series, when Matthew Crosby came on and he recounted a time when Keith Allen, who was a nemesis of mine because he wrecked my student review show and then was nasty to me on the television when I was a student, and one day I will get my revenge on him. He went out with Judith Sawala as well, which was annoying. He's a very successful actor and comedian, which is annoying. But he has a reputation. He seems to have ridden through the various controversies that could have got to him in recent years. Matthew Crosby saw him coming to, I think, the Groucho Club and saying, "Who wants to suck my cock?" or something like that. So, as well as Matthew Crosby, of course, gave rise to the question, "Who would you prefer to die for, Windsor Davis or his own wife?" which became a good question for a while, until Windsor Davis unfortunately died first. It's a sad that Windsor Davis died, but I'm glad that Matthew Crosby's wife is still alive. So it would take a lot for me. I'm quite angry. I almost got to the point, Ali, where I could forget that. Am I still in this? I didn't realise I was still in it. Sorry, I've been talking a little bit. When you're in an interview, you have to sometimes just sit back and let the person talk. It'd be nice to see you do that. I do it a lot. I'm a very skilled interviewer, Ali, and you should watch me and learn from me, because sometimes people need a bit of help. Sometimes, you can tell someone's a bit reticent. You need to keep talking until they've come up with an answer. People go, "You talk too much." Well, it's a conversation. If you don't like it, go and get a student who just asks a question and sits down and waits for you to stop talking. That's not a very entertaining interview. Have a conversation, Ali. But you have to. You just got to an interesting story. Don't interrupt this one, because we might get some revelations about my feelings about Keith Allen. I'm trying not to interrupt Richard. I'm just trying to sit here open mouthed at your audacity. I am audacious. I thought about having Keith on the podcast. I'd like to sort of talk to him about all this stuff, but also, water under bridge, isn't it? I mean, he's a horrible cunt, but I don't usually have horrible cunts on. A couple of notable exceptions. You know who I'm talking about. I've been thinking about it. I'm still quite cross about it. He was incredibly unpleasant to us. And when we went on this TV show, after he basically, to recount an age-old story, he came on to review our show for the TV, watched one sketch, moved some crash mats, and going, "Jump now, you fucker." And out about, I've just pushed Ben Moore off, so he jumped anyway. And then he stormed out and punched the theatre manager. Then went on TV and just said, "Oxford Review, as you'd expect, shit." He hadn't seen the show. We may have been shit. I don't think we were shit. It was written by Stuart Lee and Richard Herring. Starred Ben Moore, Richard Herring, Catherine Hood, Ben Pope, Emma Williams, now Emma Kennedy. We weren't too bad. There was some talent in amongst that lot. And I went on the next week to give a counterpoint. The TV show let us back on. And then we were just bullied some more by him and Malcolm Hardy and other people. And they were all going on about us being public school boys. And there's two girls. B, everyone apart from the pianist went to comprehensive school. So it was actually a lovely example of how it is possible to get to Oxbridge without being a snooty toff. All four main members of the group had done so. But then I recently found out Keith Allen went to public school as well. So, it absolutely fucked me off that he was there with this self-hating. He didn't like public school, but he was sent to public school, and he might have rebelled at public school, but he still went to public school, and he was on national TV attacking me for going to public school when I didn't go to public school. There's something fucked up about that, isn't there? And there wasn't the internet in those days, so you wouldn't be able to find that kind of information out. If I could have gone, "But Keith, you went to public school and I didn't go to public school. What's your fucking problem?" Instead, I just looked a bit embarrassed and my voice went high. And about the only person who ever saw it came to me and said, "I saw you on that thing and I thought they were really unfair to you." But it was just an extra embarrassment. In fact, it's amazing that I ever go back to Edinburgh. I've just suffered humiliation after humiliation up there and defeat after defeat. And yet somehow I still love it. Back at the Edinburgh Fringe, don't do an advert. I'm just not doing it. I'm just letting them know. From the 3rd to the 14th. Don't do an advert. 3rd to the 14th of August. At the Assembly Ballroom. That's it. It is 1 o'clock. We've got some great guests. Check out richtown.com/rahelastapati. You guys know what's going on. I'd love to see you up there if you want to come along and see it. They'll all be released as podcasts, and you can get them ad-free with your fantastic Acast Plus membership. So thank you so much for doing that. I think we've got enough, haven't we? I think we've done enough for now, and we haven't quite got to the bottom of this page. I remember we were up to Keith Allen, but we've done 4 questions officially, plus all the ones on the back and the front. So even... you know, even once we're in the proper questions, what have we done? Sort of 15 questions, maybe? It's going to take us quite a long time just to get through this one book. And then we've got the Christmas ones. Then it might be Christmas by the time we do the Christmas ones. Maybe I'll move over to the Christmas ones during the Christmas period. Yeah, well, that'll take too long. But look, guys, thank you, Ali, for interviewing me. You're great. That's all right. Can I go now? You go and sit down. Thank you there. See you, rat fans. Good night. I'm Chickeny. Woohoo! Woohoo! I sit on it. I'm winking at it, etc. You can see Ali. If you like Ali, you can see him on Twitch of Fun, which is on Thursdays. Stop doing adverts. 8 p.m. twitch.tv/rkherring. There's lots of other podcasts to enjoy. There's also a badge system for the other podcasts as well. But come on, let's not take the piss. But if you're a massive fan, you know there's some extra stuff you can get there as well. Look, hope you've enjoyed this bonus podcast, and thanks so much for giving. I know it's tough at the moment, so thanks very much for giving some money to us. And I think it's good value. Let me know what you think. I think we're putting out 8 original podcasts a month. Probably in August it's going to be more like 12 original podcasts in a month, and putting out some old ones as well. So it seems to me like we're getting quite a lot of stuff, and for a minimal amount. And yeah, look, I know that it was nice when the videos were free, wasn't it? But I think paying like £1 a week for those isn't too bad. It costs us a lot more to make them. So I don't have to convince you. You're in. Thanks for being in. Tell your friends. Just tell your friends about the podcast. They don't have to subscribe to this stuff. It's just great if people will listen. Go and listen to as many podcasts as you can. Tell your friends to do that. You guys don't have to listen to the ads anymore, so well done. You can listen to the ads if you want. Shall I just go? Just go, girls. You're rubbish. All right, I'll be back next time with Ali. Thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed this bonus podcast. Let us know what you think. You know where I'm at. Twitter, herring1967. herring1967@gmail.com if you really want to email me. See you around, motherfuckers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Thanks for listening. Go to GoFasterStripe.com
For all your Rich Herring download and book needs, go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can, and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.